Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, July 12th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, containment grows to 25% on Point Fire. Alder Point Road remains open. Lightning and high heat incoming for the North Coast. And the KMUD News Sports Report. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Just before news time, a vegetation fire was reported near the Garberville Airport, west of the town on Sproul Creek Road. KMUD's Lisa Music was on scene and shared this live report.
Good afternoon. This is Lisa Music reporting for Redheaded Black Belt and KMUD News. Just after 5 p.m. today, approximately 5:10 p.m., a report of a vegetation fire near the Garberville Airport was reported. It was originally reported as a vegetation fire. A full fire, wildland fire response was issued, including air support. However, those resources have now been canceled. The fire is extinguished. We are on scene here at the corner of Bryceland Road and Sproul Creek Road, out by the Garberville Airport, west of the town of Garberville, on a private property where it appears that a branch from this tree struck the power line and ignited a fire. You can see crews here from Garberville Fire Protection District working to extinguish this. Additionally, PG&E is on scene. They have informed us that the power has been disconnected and is out at this time. If you are traveling on Sproul Creek Road, please use caution. We have already had some kind of coming through this active working area at a high rate of speed. We have our volunteer fire crews out here directing traffic, trying to keep our first responders safe as they do this much needed work. And once again, in just the matter of days, coming to our aid to protect our homes from wildfire.
As of 6 p.m., the flames have been extinguished and there's no longer a threat to the public. However, the power remains out in that region with no estimated time of restoration. You can check for updates at pge.com/outages. High heat will persist in inland areas currently under an excessive heat advisory through the weekend, which could create fire weather conditions as a lightning storm is incoming. For more, we spoke with the National Weather Service in Eureka and their meteorologist, Daniel Schmiegel.
For the coastal area, especially within the Humboldt Bay region, we can see the temperatures have been about seasonably high recently with, let's see, maximum temperatures in the mid-60s, higher up as you go closer inland. And this pattern will hold through this weekend. We see them actually increasing as our forecast shows up to about the high 60s. So a little bit warmer, but nothing too crazy like they're experiencing inland. There's some pretty high confidence that the fog that's been hugging our coastline should continue through Sunday as well, Sunday morning. So more inland, though, however, I mean, the temperatures that we've been experiencing up to the hundreds and plus, that's going to continue today, obviously, and through tomorrow. And then it's really going to start to taper off into Sunday and Monday, where those high temperatures, except for a few areas, rarely are forecasted to get above about 100 degrees or so. And again, the same goes with those inland regions as well, where the winds will be lighter in the mornings, but then really pick up in the afternoons.
Areas along the coast like Fort Bragg, Shelter Cove, and Eureka are the only portions of Northern California not under the ongoing heat advisory or excessive heat warning, which is in effect until 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. And as we move into drier conditions with the summer heat, a possible lightning storm on the horizon is cause for concern.
Yeah, so right now it looks like there is slight lightning threat. It doesn't look too intense, but where that would be focused is on the eastern side of Mendocino County, kind of right along the border, definitely east of Ukiah and Willits and Laytonville and things like that up in those mountainous regions. And what's interesting about that lightning is if it is expected, there's a very little chance that, like, I guess, wetting rain will come of it as well. So it's just very interesting where if the lightning does occur, there's a very high chance, at least from our thought at this point in time, that these storms will be mostly lightning and not that much rain. So it's not the best news for fire, but it's what we're working with at the current moment.
Humboldt County already saw its first evacuation orders of this fire season earlier this week in southern Humboldt. And the meteorologist says the upcoming lightning storm is just another reminder to be prepared.
Make sure to have a go bag ready in case of evacuations and things like that. And let's just hope that chance is on our side and we continue to have a safe summer as much as we can.
While the heat advisory will come to a close this weekend, cooler temperatures are not expected until next week.
It's pretty hot right now, and that seems to die off as we go into the early portion of next week. There's a upper-level disturbance out in the northern Pacific, which is just a higher-level storm that's going to come in and kind of stir up our weather system and bring in a little bit more cooler air and kind of stop some of this overheating that we've been seeing. And it looks like our high temperatures on Tuesday are around the 90s, with selected areas a little higher, of course. And then that also holds through Thursday. And then it looks like next weekend we can see a slight increase, but that's just so far away that we don't really have confidence on exactly what's going to happen quite yet. But long story short is the heat should remain through the weekend, sadly. But then early next week, we'll see some relief before we get a little bit warmer from that relief back.
For an up-to-the-minute weather forecast, you can visit weather.gov/EKA. As previously reported by KMUD News, the forward progress on the Point fire was stopped early Thursday morning as crews worked overnight with weather conditions in their favor. The fire began just before 6 p.m. Wednesday evening to the east of Garberville, a few miles up Alder Point Road. And today, its containment has increased.
My name is John Blisher. I'm a fire captain with Humboldt Bell North Unit up here at the Point Fire off Alder Point Road up above Garberville. So we're still out here today. We're making really good progress. Witness containment update was 25%, so that number is likely to go up again later today. Since yesterday, we've been able to open up Wallen Road, fully open, and we have one-way piloted traffic along Alder Point Road, helping keep our crews who are still in that area working along the roadway safe. But yeah, we still have quite a few resources up here that'll be here through the night tonight, and then we'll have additional resources coming in tomorrow morning.
Yesterday, smoldering logs and coals and debris piles were cause for concern, despite the forward progress being stopped. Crews have continued to extinguish residual spots and are feeling confident that containment will continue to increase in percentage.
We're feeling a lot better by the day. You know, there's always, until we have it completely buttoned up, there's always a chance. So I never want to say that we're completely out of the woods, but we're looking a lot better. And yeah, I'm feeling a lot better about how it's looking right now. We're getting a lot of the hot spots knocked out, a lot of smoke. There's a lot less visible this afternoon than there was even this morning. So the progress has been good, and yeah, we're getting close.
Two homes were lost during the Point fire. According to the GoFundMe page, help the Lewis family rebuild after fire, which has been shared to the KMUD News Facebook page. It stated that in the late afternoon of the 10th, Joyce Lewis Zane smelt propane and went to check on her mother, at which point her trailer exploded. So we asked the fire captain if a propane tank may have been related to the cause of this fire.
As far as the cause, I don't know the official cause. I know there was initial reports the fire started right there around the house. I know the CAL FIRE investigators are working on it. They were out there quite a bit yesterday and still working on it now. And I'm sure that once they pin it down, that will come out. But yeah, as far as with propane, and you know, it's like with anything, it can be dangerous. There's a leak. Propane has a pretty distinct smell. Anytime you smell that in your residence or around your residence, it's always best to get out and, you know, call 911. We'll get someone out there to take a look at it. And I don't know if that was part of it, but, yeah, that's definitely always a concern with propane.
Dealing with blistering temperatures on a fire line, coupled with the extreme heat, firefighters across the state on other fires have been hospitalized due to heat-related illnesses. So we asked how the local crews are faring.
Everyone's doing good today. I'll be honest with you, it is hot up here, but we've been trying to keep them supplied with lots of drinking water and giving them adequate rest as necessary. But, you know, so far everyone's been working hard and keeping after it. You know, we haven't really had too many issues. We still have, again, like yesterday, we have 6 engines working up here today, a couple hand crews, and several water tenders to support the hose lays from the engine. So quite a few people still working up here. We'll have quite a few up here tomorrow as well, and hopefully here pretty soon we can kind of start buttoning this thing up.
In closing, he thanked the community for their support and patience.
And we know that the people who use Alder Point Road, it is still a bit of an inconvenience with the traffic delays, but we appreciate the patience. And as soon as we can safely fully open it, we will.
As of 8 p.m. yesterday, Alder Point Road is now open to one-way controlled and piloted traffic. All evacuation orders were downgraded to warnings, and residents were able to return home. Like KMUD programmer Agnes Patak, host of Heart of the Earth, she spoke with our news team this afternoon to share her experience of evacuating.
Well, my name is Agnes. You probably recognize my voice from KMUD. I do 2 shows, and I just happen to live in the neighborhood where the Point Fire was. And in fact, right when it was starting, my son just happened to look out, and we said, "Oh, look, it looked like smoke." And all of a sudden, it was black and bellowing. So we knew it must have been a building. And we took a few pictures, and we thought, "Oh, it should be." And then it just kept getting more smoke, and we're looking at it. And we went inside, and all of a sudden, there were helicopters. I mean, they were right over our house. And in fact, one of them, yelled out something to my son, and then before we knew it, there was it was either Cal Fire or it was some kind of official truck. And I didn't quite look at the logo, but they said, "You need to leave now." Talk about a pack bag. Really didn't quite have it, but I did grab a basket and got all my camera equipment and important papers, and we bailed, and we went to my son's house, and it was really quite nerve-wracking. It just kind of, you don't know what's going on. And, we listened to KMUD, all night long, just about. We thought, the next morning there was word that, Wallen Road might be open. And so we thought, we have to go through that road. And so, but no, it was closed. And, just to know that it was so close and to see the smoke, and even when we were allowed in last night, you could still see smoke, coming through the trees. It was a little bit this morning, but it's now gone. And, it just kind of numbs you. And I remember just going out the door, and I looked at my house and everything inside, and I have lots of, artwork that I've collected and stuff, and I looked at it, and I just thanked it for all the joy that it brought me. And if that was it, that was it. And I start thinking about the people, in the whole town of Paradise that got lost. I thought about the big fire in Oakland that was in the late 80s or so, when all the Oakland Hills were on fire. You start thinking about the people that have gone through so much more, and you can really identify with, that numbness that you get. And it really did come close, really close. But I am just so grateful that, I still have my home and I still have my life.
Patak says she learned firsthand that seconds do matter in emergencies like wildfires, and encourages all to prepare by making an evacuation plan for your family and having a go bag.
Even more than a go bag, have a list and have it laminated. And because the one thing, I thought I grabbed everything and I forgot my meds, and I thought, oh my gosh, and my son forgot his meds. And that was the only thing that we really, didn't grab. And so I think it's really important to have a list. I mean, I knew to grab all my important papers. I had them all in one place. I grabbed everything pretty much that, you would think, I didn't grab any extra clothes. It was a sleepless night the other night, when it happened. And you know, because you don't know what's happening, and you think about all the, you know, all the homes here, and you know, when I came up on yesterday morning, and they didn't let us in. But I was able to look up, you know, and I can just see smoke and all above, you know, all the homes here, you know, that I could see. And I thought, gosh, it was so close. And right now I can, you know, just sit here on my back porch and look out and just see some burnt tops. I mean, just it's very close. And it's just, you know, a real warning to everybody just to be prepared.
For helpful tips on how to create a wildfire action plan, on how to harden your home and create a go bag, you can visit readyforwildfire.org, or you can download the Ready for Wildfire app onto your device. The recent spike in fire activity marks an early beginning to fire season, which is why it is absolutely critical to support our volunteer fire departments, who respond selflessly to keep our community safe. Notably, a recent drawdown in CAL FIRE's Humboldt Del Norte unit has prompted local volunteer entities to take command of various CAL FIRE stations. To learn more about their efforts, we spoke with Shelter Cove Fire.
Yeah, well, thanks, Lauren. I'm Fire Chief Nick Pape with Shelter Cove Fire Department. Currently, we are seeing our peak fire season, right? So normally, for us, about mid-September into October, peak season. And so when we have fires elsewhere in the state, our local CAL FIRE HUU, they step up and they assist the other CAL FIRE units across the state with sending resources. So when CAL FIRE calls for a strike team of 5 engines, Humboldt strike team, they'll send their CAL FIRE engines out, and it leaves part of the Humboldt unit downstaffed. So what they do is they use a agreement, assistance by hire agreement with local government. They have the same capacity, the same expectations of those CAL FIRE units that went out, same abilities with the engines, and we backfill behind them. Great for our communities. They get firefighters to fill those CAL FIRE stations that would normally be vacant, and then they respond to fires like the Point Fire to continue that coverage. So it's a great opportunity for local volunteers, and it's a great program for CAL FIRE to keep their stations covered.
Shelter Cove Fire was covering the CAL FIRE station on Alder Point Road when the Point Fire broke out, and were first on scene to begin suppression efforts.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different departments right now that are covering CAL FIRE stations, and I would refer to the local CAL FIRE unit for more questions about that. Specifically for Shelter Cove, we were ordered to cover Whitethorn Station, and that's an agreement that we have. They call us up, say, hey, do you guys have the ability to cover this? We said, yep, we'll get our crew together. And we went en route Whitethorn Station, then shortly after, the Mina Fire broke out in northern Mendocino, and the Bryson engine was actually sent to that along with some other local HUU CAL FIRE engines, and we went moved up and covered to Garberville. And so that's how the Shelter Cove engine ended up at Garberville Station. From there, we had two pretty calm days, but they're still running medical aids and traffic collisions and being available. And then yesterday the Point Fire started, or the day before. Yeah, our guys were one of the first engines on scene. They had a CAL FIRE utility, and our local CAL FIRE Eagle River Camp was there as well, along with CAL FIRE. And then Bryson Fire engine was covering Alder Point Station, I believe. So for us in Shelter Cove, we're firm believers in helping our neighbors, because one of these days we're going to need help out here. So we've been trying to build our program to allow us to have the capabilities to do these out-of-district responses while still keeping Shelter Cove safe as well. And I know the guys and gals on that engine crew had an intense firefight. And you know, I haven't got to actually see them yet, but I talked to them on the phone, and they did really well. And you know, they used their training that we've been developing in Southern Humboldt to you know, help some other district and some other community. And, you know, it is all about the larger Southern Humboldt community here. And I'm really proud of the crew and what they did, and the larger, you know, volunteer and CAL FIRE men and women that put their lives in the line to protect that community. And it all went really well.
We rely on our volunteer departments to keep us safe, and they rely on us for support.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's a single volunteer fire department in our area or the state, for that matter, that doesn't heavily rely on donations and community support. even just thank you cards to let the guys know what they're doing and the time and effort they put in is worth it. You know, it's not every day that there's a large fire like the Point Fire that has stopped successfully in front of everybody and it's, you know, put on Front Street in the news. There's hundreds of thousands of little medical aids and washing the engines and everything else to get ready for those larger fires. So there's a bunch of time put in the background that the community may not see that results in the training and the experience that these guys just did and put on that Point Fire. And we need to keep it up. We need to keep letting these volunteers know that, you know, they are important, both funding-wise with state and, you know, federal dollars and grants coming in and, you know, Measure Z continuing to fund the volunteers through Measure Z for that. And then also the people power. You know, we need more volunteers. We need auxiliary members. We're very fortunate in Shelter Cove to have a large number of auxiliaries to our CERT team. And I think every department in the area could benefit from having that number of reserves to help us cook and clean and do the evacuations and get the information out to the community. So there's always a place. I can speak for a lot of fire chiefs where I can say that, you know, we can pretty much take anybody and find a spot for you within our department. It might not be hiking up hills with 40-pound hose packs on, but there's a job for everybody in the fire service to help support their community. So please reach out, and we have 17 volunteer departments in Southern Humboldt, south of Wyot, so there's plenty of opportunity for it.
Sharing his final thoughts, Chief Pape implores all to be fire ready and prepared.
Fire season's here. You know, we were very, very fortunate on the Point Fire, and we may not get that lucky in the environment might not be the same on the next one. So make sure your homes are ready, your to-go bags are packed, and you have the evacuation plan with your community. Yeah, and that's something that we all need to get better at for the big one. So I'm glad it went really well in the Point Fire, and I know people in Shelter Cove are seeing that as what could potentially happen out here with our two smaller fires this year, and we're going to be as ready as we can and get ready for that next fire.
And again, helpful tips can be found at readyforwildfire.org. You can see photos of the Shelter Cove fire crew on the Point Fire on the KMUD News Facebook page. Ray Hamill brings us the details of all the latest Little League news as the local season continues to heat up, as well as all the latest on the Humboldt Crabs and news of how one local high school celebrated its state championship team this week.
Four local Little League All-Star teams are in action this weekend as a busy summer of youth baseball continues here on the North Coast. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on that story in just a moment, and we'll also bring you updates on all of the other big local sports stories from this week, including all the latest news on the Humboldt Crabs, how one state championship team celebrated their players this week, news of a big American Legion baseball tournament in Eureka, and how College of the Redwoods football is succeeding on and off the field of play. But first up, it has been a fun summer for local Little League baseball, and that's showing no signs of slowing down anytime soon. Four local teams are in action this weekend, including one that is playing for a NorCal state championship. On Tuesday night, the McKinleyville Junior All-Stars completed an unbeaten run through the Section 2 tournament with a hard-fought 6-5 win over South Siskiyou at Hiller Park in McKinleyville. The tournament hosts won all three of their tournament games on their way to the championship and improved to 7-0 on the summer. The section championship sends them on to this weekend's NorCal State Tournament with a place in the West Regional Tournament up for grabs. The MAC All-Stars open the NorCal State Tournament on Saturday night in Rockland. Also in action this weekend, three other local Little League All-Star teams will be playing for a section championship, including the McKinleyville 12 and 10-year-olds, as well as the Redwood Empire 11-year-olds. The McKinleyville 12s, who won their district championship in Redway last week, are playing their section tournament in Susanville and opened with an exciting 4-3 win in extra innings on Thursday afternoon. The Redwood Empire 11-year-old All-Stars are playing in Yuba City, and the McKinleyville 10s are playing in Cottonwood. We'll have news on how all four All-Star teams fared in next week's KMUD News Sports Report. It was also a good week for the Humboldt Crabs. After dropping their series opener against the Rogues in Medford last weekend, the Crabs rallied to win two straight games to take the series. They defeated the Rogues 9-7 on Saturday before taking the series rubber match 14-2 on Sunday. The Crabs carried that momentum into a midweek series against the Alameda Anchors at the Arcata Ballpark, securing a 4-3 walk-off win with two runs in the bottom of the ninth inning on Tuesday, and they then swept the series with a 14-7 win on Wednesday. The Crabs will be back in action this weekend as they welcome the West Coast Kings to the Arcata Ballpark for a three-game series. The action gets underway on Friday night at 7. The longtime local collegiate summer club will also honour a club legend before Friday night's game. Fondly referred to as the man who saved the Crabs, Jerry Nutter served as president of the team board for 7 years and had a lasting impact on the popular local club until his passing in 2012. Nutter and his family, many of whom played key roles with the club over the years, will all be honoured before Friday night's game in a ceremony that will include the unveiling of a Nutter baseball sign on the left field fence at the ballpark, alongside those of fellow Crabs legends Lou Bonamini, Ned Barsuglia, and Shorty Ames. In 1995, Jerry and his son Matt set up an all-volunteer non-profit board of directors to keep the Crabs tradition going, and his longtime dedication to the team earned him the title of the man who saved the Crabs. In other local sports news this week, the Ferndale Wildcats celebrated their state championship football team with a ring ceremony at Ferndale High School on Monday night. The Cats claimed a first ever state championship in the sport in thrilling fashion last December after rallying from a 3-touchdown deficit to defeat Fairfax out of Los Angeles 29-21 in the CIF Division 7 AA championship game at El Camino College. The state win capped a huge run through the playoffs that included 3 straight road wins against higher seeds on the way to a North Coast Section Championship. Monday's event was hosted by the Ferndale Wildcats Booster Club with family, friends and community members in attendance. Head coach Clint McClurg spoke briefly to the gathering before presenting the players with their rings. Switching gears, this weekend will be one of the busiest of the summer for local baseball fans, with the Humboldt Eagles hosting their annual tournament. The Eagles tournament got underway on Thursday afternoon and will run through Sunday, with 12 teams and a total of 30 games scheduled. The tournament is split into 2 brackets, one for 17 U teams and one for 19 U's. The Eagles will be joined by 4 other local teams. The hosts are competing in the 19U tournament along with Wild Cactus Baseball and the Southern Humboldt 76ers, while the Northern Humboldt Giants and the Southern Humboldt Patriots are playing in the 17U bracket. The 12 teams are competing in pool play through Saturday, with the tournament playoffs, including the championship games, scheduled for Sunday. The 17U tournament is being played at the Redwood Fields in Cutton, and the championship game is set for 2 p.m., while the 19U tournament is taking place at Bilotti Field across from the Redwood Acres, and the championship game will take place at 2:30 p.m. And finally this week, the College of the Redwoods football team appears to be succeeding on and off the field of play. After securing a first bowl game victory in 30 years last fall, an impressive 15 of the players from that team will continue their careers at 4-year schools. Included in that group are 5 local standouts. Quarterback Max Hoff, a former Fortuna Husky who was a 2-time All-Conference selection with Sior, will play at Division II Colorado Mesa, along with former Ferndale Wildcat Elaine Brandstetter, who is a defensive back. Former Eureka Logger Chase Stubing is also taking his game to the next level and will play at Division II New Mexico Highlands, while Del Norte's Tanner Faulkner, who also was a 2-time All-Conference selection for CR at linebacker, will take his talents to College of Idaho, an NAIA program. Another former Husky, Joey Quinn, who also played baseball at CR, will join Mount Marty University, an NAIA school in South Dakota, where he is expected to have an immediate impact on the offensive line. The Corsairs defeated Hartnell College 63-0 in last December's Grizzly Bowl game. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Michael McCaskill, and thanks to our reporters, Lisa Music and Ray Hamill. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.